You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za. That right there is the Outfield and Your Love. It takes us back to 1985. Bringing us to the present, that is 10 minutes past 4 on this Wednesday afternoon. It is time for my fortnightly highlight. And I live for this moment every fortnight. You know, when from today I start counting the sleeps until the time you're back in the studio. Hello, Jeffrey Ernest Kahn.
Hello, Richard the Unicorn Griggs. Yeah. And that's why we call it the present, because I'm a present to you. I'm a gift. There we are. That's why you wait for me for 2 weeks. Don't look at me like that. This is radio, not TV. People can't see that steely blue stare of yours there.
But they can tell I'm speechless.
No, they, you know, speechless. Yeah. So okay, it's not a good idea.
Yeah. All righty then. So welcome back. Nice to see you. It's always great to have you in the studio, and you come along with your best of life, love, and scrambled eggs. And you're going to speak to us about a topic that is rescuing what?
Rescuing, relationship rescue.
Relationship rescue.
Yeah, pretty much. We're going to talk about that today because I think it's relevant.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Why do you look at me like that?
I think it is relevant because the way you're going on, our relationship is not going to, you know, go. We'd have to rescue it a bit, I think. You know.
Oh, no, it's way beyond that.
No, I'm kidding. No. We make light of a quite a serious thing, but it's normal. Yeah. Stuff. So we're going to talk about normal.
Is our relationship
today.
Serious? Is this what you're trying to say?
No, it's normal.
Because I was about to dispute that.
No, it's all right. We're good. We're good.
All right. Okay. Okay. Now, it is a serious topic, and I'm going to leave it to you to explain why it is a serious topic.
Okay. So obviously, many relationships lose their spark over time. And it isn't it always a sign that it's beyond repair? So I want to talk about what happens when you lose trust and how do we spark it up again a little bit? Because it's either boring, the relationship, or it's static. Nothing's really happening. You sort of feel like you're not getting away with your partner, or it's damaged. More damage. Those three things that can happen, and to any relationship, even the strongest relationships can have challenges, and we know that. I mean, we've all been through it, and we know this. And it's not something new. But what is something might be new is how to fix it, and maybe a few hints on, you know, building up that partnership again to what it was when you guys were really happy. You know, you might be happy now, but it's not going that great. And so building a happy, healthy partnership takes work, Richard, you know. I mean, and it may not always be easy. That's the understatement of the year. Okay, we go through stuff. We go through all kinds of things, but especially when there's been a breach of trust. Mm. Now, trust is a big thing. We've spoken about trust before in relationships, and the goal is not to fixate on the past when this happens, but to work together to create something meaningful, and in a meaningful way, get together. But when there's something that really is serious, like infidelity and that kind of stuff, sometimes very difficult to sit in front of that person, look them in the eye and say, well, let's have a nice, decent conversation. Mm. So
while I'm ducking the ashtray, you're throwing it at my head.
Exactly. So you don't feel like you want to sit down with that. And time, it takes time and all these things. But here are a few hints that can help you get back. So infidelity is a major breach of trust, obviously. But there could be other things. You didn't phone me when you said you were going somewhere, or you went somewhere and you said you were going somewhere else, or you did a white lie, or you didn't involve me in something. It could be lots of things, you know, that somebody triggers the trust issue. So if you're accused of something and there is a trust issue and it's your fault, first thing to do is to take full responsibility for it. Take it on the chin, say, I was wrong. I'm terribly sorry. I take this one. It's on me. Okay. I was at fault. I should have phoned you. I didn't phone you. The guys were talking, whatever it was. I'm really sorry. Okay. So let's take full responsibility of that as well. Okay. So avoid becoming defensive and sidestepping your mistake. And And don't fall into that "I don't like myself" either. Well, that's not also not good.
Mm.
You should own it in a loving way that creates the space to start to rebuild the trust again. So extend compassion and care to the person you've hurt. So understand what they're going through. Understand how they've been hurt by your actions. And extend compassion. I understand how you feel, love. I'm really sorry. Not you, Richard. I'm using an example now. Mm. It's easy to fall into a spiral of shame and disappointment in yourself as well. Don't do that. You're going to fix something. Right. So rather spend all your time, not all your time, beating yourself up, trying to find out, rather shift the energy to try and do it in a caring, compassionate way to your partner. Okay. So that's, okay. So give your partner the opportunity to win your trust back. You know, while you have every right to feel hurt and angry, there should be a desire to work on the relationship. So give that partner that space and that environment and don't cause more chaos the next day. So it just escalates. Practice radical transparency. Now, this is quite an interesting term. Radical transparency means like over the top showing your partner that, this is my phone and this is where I went and this is what I did. So you overdo it. You kind of overshare, which might seem a bit silly and you might feel a bit silly about it, but it's not so silly to that person who's trying to trust you again. And I think, you know, that's part of getting back the trust is oversharing on all your things as well. Consult with a professional. So, yeah, we always say that. And it's important for the two of you to maybe go and have counseling if this is something you can't work through yourself. So if you can't work through yourself and you've tried it, go and see somebody because there's no harm in doing that. And if and normally this has been with a significant breach. So this is infidelity and that kind of stuff. And go and speak to a therapist that's qualified with this kind of stuff. Very important. Okay, so getting back to how to fix or how to get out of a boring, static relationship, how to fall in love again with your partner. So to fall back in love, you first need to acknowledge that it's quite possible to fall out of love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you need to understand that this is possible. It's that first 3 months is that honeymoon phase and you're running around and you're all excited and that oxytocin is going through your head and you're all crazy and you're all for life. And you can't think of, and you've got stomach problems because you're thinking about this person. So you've got butterflies and all that kind of. But that, as we all know, that finishes after about 3 months. Mm. That's gone, you know. Mm. And if you've still got it after 15 years, well, you know, fantastic. But it's a very human thing. Mm. And we need to understand it's absolutely natural that this does happen. So falling out of love doesn't really mean that your relationship is over. Mm. Some people think, oh, well, I don't have those butterflies for him anymore or her anymore. It means it's over. It's a temporary hurdle, okay? And it's normal. It's absolutely normal, okay? So if you want to know how to fix a broken relationship, you should also know that it's going to take genuine effort. Every relationship takes effort. That's anything. Nothing worthwhile comes easy. So that's what we got to do. So how do we rekindle the love towards your partner and mend the relationship or get it out the boring phase or the static phase, okay? So get over the giddy notions of romantic love. That'll be there for the first 3 months, and then you kind of know that the person has certain habits that are not great or that that's a bit irritating or whatever. Okay, it's an initial craze for each other is gone and the serotonin is gone and you're after all human and you go into a normal phase with somebody, right? So accept that the relationship has come away from the stage of infusive emotion because that is a stage where people think, oh, well, maybe am I doing the right thing or is this the right person? It is now at a level of a mature companionship, okay? So especially when you get to 15, 20 years, they know each other so well, you know each other's positives, your negatives, and it's quite normal. And now you want to fall in love again. How do we do this? So also don't take too many things too personally. Your partner might have said and done something that wasn't meant to be deliberate, a slight on you or an insult, and they might have done something and it hurt you. So falling in love again is with your spouse would mean exercising tolerance and offering forgiveness. Because sometimes we get grumpy with our partners, you know, we snap at them or you know, say goodbye in a bad way in the morning and that kind of stuff. So practice more patience, gratitude, appreciation, and acceptance. I think appreciation would be a big one to start getting on that track again. So stop worrying about what other people think and know your own worth as well. And this will help you stop taking things so personally in a relationship. When that does happen, there's on an edge. There's an edgy there. Work on your relationship, okay? It takes time to build it, and it needs continuous effort to maintain. But having a thriving, healthy relationship is definitely worth all the effort. You know, study shows there, Richard, that companionship and marriages can withstand any amount of upheaval in life, so long as the two partners want to fix it together. And that includes loss of wealth, it includes job crises and sudden illness as well. The infidelity thing is another discussion. I think that's a whole discussion on its own, how to get through that, because I don't think many people can get through that. But that's just saying it by the by. So also getting it back, you plan the date night. So you might have not had your – it's boring. You go from week to week to week. You don't have a date night. You don't go to a place. You go to a restaurant together. Maybe the kids are giving you hassles. You don't have time alone. You don't have a babysitter. Whatever it is, romantic dinners are important. Even if it's just a coffee together or whatever, a weekend away. And it's those things are not always possible. So you have to maybe put the effort into a day-to-day interaction. So making it count every day. And I know, Richard, things are going so quickly. I don't know about you, but it's already October. And the year has gone incredibly quickly. And 1 week goes into the next week, goes into the next week. It's absolutely crazy. And we miss each other sometimes. So complimenting your husband on his achievements at work would be good. Or the wife, you know, you've done amazing at work, babe. You've done amazing in your business. I'm so proud of you, you know. Or bring your wife her flowers. Okay, there's a bit of a next year the flowers. Be careful you don't bring flowers when you're not used to bringing flowers, because she will look at you, put her fists on her hips and say, what did you do wrong? Okay, so that could be that. But bring her something and say, some chocolates for you. I just appreciate you. Phone her during the day saying, listen, I'm just thinking about you. Thank you for what you do for all of us, the kids and the family and all that kind of stuff. It's a wonderful, and it kindles a warmth and a kindness again. Just also acknowledge that nobody is perfect. Absolutely nobody is perfect, okay? And there will be annoying things in your relationship. There will always be. But can you handle those things? If it's the small things, it's fine. But if you can't handle them, they're going to niggle. So no one's perfect. So avoid nagging. That actually achieves nothing positive at all. And occasional gentle reminders. Listen, you know, Gerald, you need to pick up your underpants. You know, don't just put it next to the wash thing. You know, you need to do that kind of stuff. But humor works as well. Humor can be a great thing. And I mean, if you can laugh about stuff, that can be a wonderful fixer. You know, especially about things that irritate you. If you can get to a point where you can laugh about it together, that is great. And when you do apologize, really do give heartfelt apologies. You know, make sure that it's not just on the way to the garage to fix the car. I'm sorry about that. Okay, so I'll see you just now. And not that kind of apology. That doesn't work, okay? It really doesn't work. So if you've missed an anniversary or you've missed a birthday or something like that, it needs to be felt that you really, really are sorry that you missed that thing as well. Okay. Now, sorry is a problem if you are living with a narcissist. Now, we've spoken about narcissists before because they don't say sorry. And they're never wrong. It's always somebody else's fault. But we're not talking about narcissists today. We're just talking about normal-ish people going through their life and trying to get this relationship thing going and trying to work it as best we can. We're trying our best, and this is the way of doing it. So also, if you want to fall in love again, communicate. And then communicate some more. Because there's nothing more than communication. And openly and frequently is the answer there as well. that allows both of you to understand each other's concerns. You know, there's always a, there's always something that comes out. It might irritate you when that person says, well, I'm concerned about this and this and this. And you've heard it before, and it just irritates you every single time the person says that. But you have to understand it's important to that partner. And if she can or he can get out what he's feeling, what he's frustrated with, then you're getting somewhere. You're absolutely getting somewhere because you will calm somebody down that way. Okay. Don't indulge in just a routine chit-chat. You've got to get some time out to discuss your feelings, your expectations, and your boundaries. I think that's important as well. You need to talk about your relationships and tell your partner what you feel is lacking. You know, if you communicate that, if you just say, listen, we don't seem to be connecting anymore, or I don't seem to have any space for myself anymore, or you don't allow me to go on a bike ride on my own anymore, or some, or whatever, or I feel guilty going, you know, you make me feel guilty when I leave going somewhere or doing something. So honest chats lead to bonding. As you are daring to lay bare your heart in front of your spouse, so honesty is everything there. They'll look at you and they'll say, you know what, this I can communicate, you know, and listen, which is very important. Mm. Remind yourself of the person you fell in love with. Look at that person again and say, who was the person I fell in love with? And then create those positive qualities again. You know, take a deeper look inside. If you're getting the feeling of not being loved back by your husband or wife or your partner, examine your own sense of self-image at first. Do you hate yourself? Do you hate your body? Do you hate your habits? Are you excessively critical of your own actions? Does your feeling of self-loathing get translated into hating everyone around you and being a complete idiot around people? Okay. The other thing is get time alone. Because if you can get time alone, you can recharge yourself and come back. If you're with a partner day in, day out, 100% of the time, it can get exhausting as well. Okay. Also, avoid exaggerating friendly interactions. You know, some people are flirty. Some people are flirty. And they're just those kind of gregarious, flirty type of people that doesn't mean the person's cheating. You know, look at it from the outside. They might be just messing around, just joking around with somebody. Don't take those things too seriously. But if it does affect you, then set the boundaries and then talk to your partner about that. Get your intimacy back on track. That is very important. So your intimacy normally takes a back seat, your physical intimacy, and that should come back and get that going because it does produce oxytocin in the brain, and it's a hormone that helps boost trust and bonding, and that's what we need. Practice empathy and kindness. Overlook minor irritants for the bigger picture. Encourage in a common goal or project. So kind of do something together. Go take up golf together or go shooting together or do something together or swimming or go to the gym or something. Engage in a common project or goal. That might get it going again. And also, lastly, keep the gadgets away from time to time. So your phones and your TVs and your drone that you do on your own and that kind of thing, if it's affecting that relationship, stay away from the gadgets a bit. Stay your head, get your eyes off the screen and have a conversation again with your partner. And Richard, that's kind of a few things that can maybe help out there. You know, just be aware, though, that getting this thing up and running again is going to take that effort. It doesn't happen from over a weekend. It doesn't happen from today. Tomorrow can happen over like a month or two where things start changing and you start doing something different, you know, getting up in a different way, trying to change your whole life, you know, go out of routine slightly, especially when it's in a rut. Because a rut is a never-ending grave, isn't it?
Mm.
So there you go.
Okay, just looking at the way you brought it across this afternoon, the infidelity issue is a big issue, and it I think is a separate issue.
It is.
That is an event, as far as I'm concerned.
It's a major event,
and it's probably dealt with very differently to what the second half of this conversation was about. I think they're different things, and you know, it depends on the nature of the infidelity, and there's so many issues there.
Yeah.
But the second one is like an accident that begins to happen. It doesn't just happen. You end up, look, I'm not saying infidelity could be the end result of all of this, but in it, when it does happen, that's a very different event and dealt with, I think, very differently. But a lot of these other things are becoming overly comfortable with one another. Now, you can live like that. You can live like that.
Yeah, sure.
And people can live very fulfilled lives as couples like that. But that fire or that, and some couples, they don't get off to a fiery start. It ends up, they build towards that. Yeah. So I don't think this is a sort of a one size fits all kind of thing. But there are those things that become routine. And I think routine is something that threatens a relationship, and it can end up becoming boring, becoming kind of static, becoming whatever the case may be. But as you say, it is natural. I mean, we go through that.
Yeah, I think a nice example would be if you can imagine a tanker in the sea,
mm.
and it goes 1 degree off its track.
Mm.
Okay, so in the beginning, you don't really notice it. You wouldn't even notice it.
Mm.
But let's go sort of 4 or 5 hours or 6 hours, 10 hours down the line, that tanker has gone, that 1 degree has taken off a long thing. So I've always said we both as partners need to grow in a relationship. And we start off great together. We start off pushing each other and encouraging each other's businesses and whatever. And then slowly we start moving apart, almost in a Y sort of situation where the one moves to the right and the one moves to the left. And unless you've got something in the middle bonding those two lines that are moving apart, you are going to be apart eventually. Mm. Okay. So you've got to have a common goal. And that's something that a lot of couples don't understand. You know, he's at work and she's got a business that does clothing online or whatever it is. Or she's with the kids or whatever, and they move apart and they don't have this common thing that they work for, like a common goal. So yes, it does. Absolutely right. It does eventually. In the beginning, you don't realize it.
Mm-mm.
And then only realize, oh my, we've moved apart. We don't know each other anymore. How do we get back to us again? And we're so far apart. And the one's in Australia and the other one's in the United States. We're so far away from each other, we can't get back, and we actually don't, it's too much effort to get back. And what I want to try and say here is that try and make the effort right up front and recognize that this is absolutely normal. Mm. It's absolutely human to do this, and try and connect with each other again. Have a conversation. Take the cell phones away. Just try and bond again like you did right in the beginning. I mean, especially if you're 30 years down the line in a marriage or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think you're very fortunate if you're 30 years down the line still have the same spark. But I don't think spark is the same as love. Spark is, by its very nature, it's a fleeting thing.
Yeah.
And if there are many sparks, good sparks, along the way, those are highlights in a relationship, in my opinion. And generally, I was speaking to a friend some years ago who said he was very happily married, at the time. And what he said he accepts the fact that his relationship with his wife is a constant, all right, that is punctuated by certain highlights. And they feed off that highlight for a while, and then it gets back to the constant, and then there's another highlight. Birth of a child, a holiday.
Kids' graduation, whatever.
Those kinds of things that kind of are highlights that. So to expect that the marriage or the relationship is going to be all happiness and comfortable and hunky dory. That is an unreasonable expectation. And that kind of philosophy worked for them. It's a kind of a philosophy that I kind of subscribe to as well. I think that if you found a partner that you can depend upon, that you can trust, that understands who you are and you understand who they are,
there's peace and harmony amongst you.
Yeah, well,
to a point.
I mean, I think there's got to be a little bit of friction because you know you can't make omelets without breaking eggs. But you're going along well, okay? Then those highlights become something where you really get together, because you've held it together all along, you haven't gone that far apart. Yeah. And those highlights kind of bring you back together. That's the way I kind of see it. And I do believe that there comes a point when you are that far apart and people's behaviors change.
Oh, sure.
And you're never going to sit around the same fire again. And in the best interest of everybody, it's best that everybody goes their own way. There's nothing wrong with that either.
Yep.
But yeah, I do think that two are infidelity is a very separate event, and these other things are things that happen, as you say. The tanker goes 1 degree of course, and then, you know, 2 days later it's actually 40 degrees of course, because exactly. it never adjusted. And exactly. And those fine adjustments along the way, I think, are the highlights that either happen naturally or you look for.
Or you could say in your example, which is very relevant, because it's almost like a balloon. So you need to keep a balloon in the air, but you can't keep hitting the balloon all the time. So you hit it once and you watch it, and it kind of floats up, and it's there for a while, and it's nice, and then it kind of falls over again, and then you've got to hit it again. Those are the little sparks that you were talking about, and that's how you keep motivation. That's how you keep anything going, is by just lifting a little bit. It mustn't be too much hard work, because you're going to get very tired in that exercise. So you lift it up, you hit the balloon, it floats for a while, it goes up. If it's helium, it stays for 2 weeks. No problem. Get your relationship. Just understand that your partner also has needs and also wants to talk and wants to share things. And if you aren't sharing, you're doing that 1% going into 40% thing, or you might be growing, one might be growing so much in his business and the other one's not keeping up, and you lose each other.
And it comes back to the thing that has been a constant throughout all of these Life, Love and Fruit Salad sessions, and that's communication.
Communication.
That is at the foundation of all of it.
The catalyst.
If you're talking then there's a chance that whatever the problem is, if there is one, is going to, be addressed one way or the other. But also, it's not only about problems. It's in communicating that you find the common cause, the thing that is, go on holiday, let's do this,
Especially when you talk calmly. When you're talking calmly and not having this argument thing where it gets too far down the line, you're so frustrated and you're fearful of this whole marriage breaking up, and it's boring and you can't handle it, and then you get angry. This kind of communication is not done in anger.
No.
It's done over a glass of wine, or it's done over a glass of a coffee or whatever, in a nice, calm, loving environment. And that's what we've got to get back to. We can't let it go further than that,
So. All right, I've got a message that came through.
Yeah.
I just want to have a look here. This is Sharon. We will be married 39 years in October.
Nice.
Some friends don't understand that my hubby goes on his own with a group on Sunday morning to ride with their 4x4 RC cars in Euless Forest. I believe he needs his me space. They can't. They just can't. I think everybody needs me space.
Sure.
And
more than we think.
More than we think. And I think that's great. And very often time apart is something that is a foundation for time together. If you feel the longing, if you go away for like a week and after 3 days you feel like, hey, I'm sure. then there is, there's something there.
Yeah.
If you go away for like a week and after being like, bugger, I've got to go back. Oh,
something's wrong.
Here we go. Yeah. Then something is wrong. But with either one of those, you can take action. So if you're really missing the person that is your life partner or your husband or wife or whatever the case may be, after 3 days, you still got 5 days to be away, you can start thinking of, what am I going to do to show my appreciation for that person when I get home?
Yeah, no, sure, as okay. well. And the key there from that message is that they've been married 39 years.
No, that's the big thing. 39 years, a long time to be married.
I mean, that's a long time to love and understand and give each other space and do all the right things.
But not without its ups and downs. The second point I was going to make about that is, if you are away for 10 days and after, 9 days you start thinking, oh, God, I've got to go. There may be also, there's time to sit down and think about, you know, why am I feeling this way? Perfect. And maybe find out if your partner felt the same way, because they're thinking, if they're at home thinking, oh, goodness, it's coming back tomorrow morning. Oh, no.
Oh, I'm stressed.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Thank you for sharing that, Sharon. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Sharon.
And as Jeff says, there are many, many ways to skin a cat, and there are many approaches to this, and it's not a one-size-fits-all. It really isn't.
Everybody's different. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some more different than others, I guess. All right.
Right.
Okay, are you finished now? Can I carry on?
You can carry on. Okay, I'm going now.
Are you done?
I'm done.
All right.
Okay.
When we see you again? Monday.
Monday.
Actually, tomorrow evening we'll see.
Tomorrow evening, yes. Yes.
Are you going to dress up like who?
Yes, of course I'm dressing up.
Like who?
No, not like the Who. It's got to be a rock and roll.
The Who's rock and roll?
That's not Who's rock.
Hey?
Who's rocking and rolling?
The Who.
Are we going tomorrow?
I'm going.
Where are you going?
To go to Corpay Theatre.
And there are tickets left for anybody who wants?
Oh, if they want, yeah.
Okay, well, they should join us. Yeah. Let us know.
Yes.
Okay. So, well, that'd be good. See you tomorrow.
I'm interested to see how you dress up.
I'm sure you would.
All right. I'm bored with you. Go now.
Kinky now. But anyway, cheers. I'm going now. Bye. Thanks, everybody. Cheers. Bye.